Sunday Meditation, April 9th, 1995. The question this afternoon has to do with sexuality. We would like to know a number of things about sexuality. Quote, we would like to know what the natural expression of both the male and the female sexuality is. What are the archetypical images or forces that aid or cause this expression to be as it is? And I'd like to know how it is most appropriate for us to work with or handle to perceive these sexual energies in ourselves and in each other. And we would like to know if there is a way in which sexual energy exchanges can be used to experience the unity of the creation and the Creator. Is there a pathway there for evolution? And does the intelligent energy that is the creative force in the universe the same in us as sexual energy, or does it set this sexual energy in motion within us?
Greetings. In the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are those of Nkuo. As always, it is a distinct pleasure and privilege to join this circle of seeking. We bless each that lends its complex of vibrations to this circle. The combined energy is most beautiful. We ask that each use its discrimination in listening to what we say. We ask that you not accept any of our opinions unless it seems to strike a chord of response within you. For truth is a deeply personal thing. And we ask you to guard your own truth carefully. As we speak to you concerning sexual energy, we need to speak in a context. So that we do not isolate this energy in thinking of it in an artificial manner. But rather in a way that enables each to see and to feel the perfection of the sexual gift. Indeed, gifts that are large and contain great power are also those responsibilities which are equally great. for each guards and appreciates and shares this energy among others. The wellspring of your physical vehicles is the sexual activity. The fructifier of inspiration is often the sexual activity. The healer of pain, even deep pain, is often sexual activity. And all those energies of friendship, and the reaching of people unto people as societies, these need to be seated within strong and healthy sexuality in order for there to be depth to the processes by which energy moves toward that perfect light of infinite energy. Archetypically speaking, then, sexuality for third density entities such as yourselves begins with that dynamic between the male who reaches that outstretched hand and the female which awaits the reaching. Now, this is an archetypical structure, an archetypical logic. In truth, male and female both reach and await the reaching. But in terms of finding a way to grasp and understand the ways in which this energy arises, it is central to see this dynamic of the male which reaches, and the female which awaits the reaching. The difficulties that those who are seeking truth find in that seeking often seem to have nothing to do with sexuality, but rather with things holding one back the spouse or something about the home situation begins to be seen as being so limiting that the seeker must leave to be free to seek unfettered by what seems to be a sea of negativity. Quite often, however, what is occurring is that the seeker has begun working upon the higher energy centers, the heart, the throat, the brow, those energies that we would call those of compassion, communication, and work in consciousness. Certainly, these indeed are those energies which beckon. And oh, how hungry the student is for more wisdom, more knowledge, more insight, and more understanding. Yet, any plant begins its life within the soil. And although you no longer are attached to the earth by roots that are visible, yet the physical body which carries you about has its origin, its life, and its energy because of its oneness with the earth plane. The amount of sheer energy vibrating betwixt earth and physical vehicle is astounding. Yet it cannot be acknowledged and used nearly so well by one who is working upon upper chakras unless that entity has the patience, the humility, and the determination to come into contact with that earth, that soil of self, for the sexual identity is as powerful and as completely unique a part of the individual spirit or soul as any other incarnationally expressed energy. This is the energy which creates a healthy plant, a healthy body. The energy that gives a primal yes to being. This is, moreover, as are all energies, a sacred, a holy energy. And the sexual intercourse is as the Eucharist of Red Ray, the Holy Communion of the body. This union capitulates, we correct this instrument, recapitulates the oneness of earth and sky, the oneness of male and female, the oneness of reaching and waiting. Now, when we speak of sexuality, we do not simply speak of sexual acts, for this energy is constant. And though its appearance in the conscious mind is cyclical, its place in the scheme of things, shall we say, is constant. Now, how does one work upon the red ray? First, one simply has to become able to express to the self precisely what the attitude is. For we find among your peoples a great ability to gloss over uncomfortable subjects with generalities and half-thought-out concepts. There is inevitable damage done, if one would call it that. There is, shall we say, inevitable distortion that has taken place for each and every entity within incarnation. For like the rest of the incarnational tools and resources, sex is intended to cause great catalyst, to cause entities to feel all kinds of befuddlement, anger, grief, and so forth. That is one of the great virtues of sexual intercourse and the relationship between two entities. Concerning their sexuality and their expression one with the other. One is intended to find this a difficult thing, at least from time to time. For the journey from head to heart must be taught at every level of energy. So one may work on the issue of becoming more balanced in red ray energy, whether or not one is in relationship, whether or not one is sexually active. In terms of doing one's homework, shall we say, it does not matter what the situation is. For each entity's sexuality lies at the very heart of its individuality. And each entity must needs work upon its own issues, its own sexuality. It is well to attempt then to gently part the strands that are tangled in the process of perceiving one's relationship to another sexually, so that the other entity's issues stay with that entity So the self works completely upon the self, and perhaps its reactions may offer that catalyst for thinking, which does create lessons learned and the strength of vital energy improved. As the Creator, intended, third density is always concerned with the dualities of dynamic opposites. And the male reaching is the strongest dynamic. The female waiting is the strongest dynamic of red ray. So let us look briefly at the reaching and the waiting. It is not just the mind and the spirit that are involved in the processes of reaching. For the physical vehicle has instincts that are very clear. The perpetuation of the species, as this instrument would call it, is completely dependent upon that male necessity for reaching. Thus it is that the body itself has the instinct to reach. And of course, those females who have an abundance of male energy shall also find themselves involuntarily reaching out to the sexuality of a male that has caught the eye. This energy can be perceived as being very negative because it can be confrontive and because the deepest instinct of one who awaits reaching is protection. Now, what is it for which the male reaches, beyond, that is, the obvious? What is it that is at the heart, spiritually speaking, of this energy? As always, it is that unity, the prize is great for those who wish to purify and strengthen this energy until it finds balance within the self. Thusly, males have the necessity of dealing with the catalyst of attraction to any attractive and available female. Indeed, that male energy is capable of reaching in fantasy, in thought, There does not even need to be the stimulus of the female which is present. This ensures that the species will survive as long as the planet is viable. Meanwhile, for the female energy, there is the opposite side of this dynamic. Unity there is, but an articulated unity. Males who have much female energy also find themselves involuntarily drawn into the contractions of one who protects oneself. This energy is so powerful that it, this instrument is having trouble finding a word for what we wish to say. The power of this energy is so great that there is the necessity for the female or negative energy to be watchful, cautious, and protective. Not for the female energy, the indiscriminate reaching, but rather the careful protection for the unity that is articulated betwixt male and female. Is that mystery, which is the one great original thought. Female energy, potentiating male energy, equals subconscious energy run through conscious channels. So each becomes a channel for the one great original thought, which is love. And in the sexual mating betwixt two who grasp the profundity and centrality of the energies of lovemaking, there is the possibility of touching intelligent energy. And in this fusion, the two truly are one. And from this rise male and female, blessed, balanced, and healed. We ask each to consider the archetype known as the lovers. In this figure, a male stands with a female on each side. To one side, the virginal. Upon the other side, the worldly and prostituted female energy. It is the first choice, the most obvious choice for the male who comes into possession of that sexuality, which shall be its catalyst for a lifetime. To reach for that sexuality in the female, which is obvious. And indeed, there is that portion of any male energy which shall always be attracted to the prostituted and the shallow. This is natural. Yet to the man who seeks until he finds that female which he feels he can work with in all humility, to this entity is given a great deal of aid. For if male and female wish equally to work together at this energy level, then there is for both a constant supply of transferred energy. To the male, the inspiration. To the female, that vital energy. Each giving what each has in abundance and receiving what each has not enough of. We mention this archetype because there is a continuing need for entities to reconfigure and rebalance themselves. For there is little probability that a seeker may become perfect in this or any practice of disciplining the self again and again. That male energy, which is such a blessing in its abundance and its strength, may well fall into a season wherein images come and come and come into the mind. And it seems that there is nothing but lasciviousness within. And for the female, there is that tendency to allow the protectiveness that is appropriate to degenerate into bitterness and fear. And the separation that occurs because of these things is substantial. Therefore, in working with each other in relationship, that energy we would call forgiveness is most important. This energy, as all energies within this illusion, has been set up to cause confusion and befuddlement again and again. And while it is natural to experience negative emotions, in response to the frustrations of failing, as one perceives oneself to fail, it may seem that the subject of sex is not worth all the work. Women have an archetypical tendency to be what this instrument would call bitches. Males have the archetypical tendency to be what this instrument calls pigs. These are pejorative terms. This instrument uses them because to speak them aloud takes some of the sting from that inevitable truth. For that element which seems bitchy is only the outcropping of that healthy tendency of protection. The female fights with words. That to which it is reacting is that male nature which reaches indiscriminately. And no matter how far a male has come spiritually, the physical vehicle of that male will continue to reach indiscriminately. The student of metaphysics will, for the most part, attempt to ignore the promptings that are random and to continually replace the attention upon the mated relationship. The male shall always fail to do this perfectly. The female may attempt to be forgiving, understanding, and so forth, but again, failure is inevitable. My friends, in this way, as in all others, you have each other to help each other. And it is most encouraged by us at each attempt to see that dynamic that sexuality offers with a merciful and ruthful gaze, to be quick to forgive and to be willing again and again to attempt to trust. When there is discord at this level, much energy is blocked. And it is usual for students of metaphysics that they will be blocked to some extent at this level. We have spoken to you before concerning the dangers of working in consciousness without first clearing those lower energies. And we remind each again. The first work is that work which is the lowest, the basest, and the most fundamental. The first holiness is here, where feet meet earth, where spirit meets flesh. Here, at the level where entities are born, here, where entities express their deepest physical nature, here is the beginning of a good work. Working with this energy center shall last the lifetime. But we encourage each to work intensively in this level of energy until a balance is perceived by the self. Then the process is to work upon the self's mental relationships with itself. And then relationships with others. And then relationships with groups. And only when this work of balancing has been touched upon should a student move into working on opening the heart, into communicating, into working consciousness. For the energy has a natural vector from the lower to the higher. And the student needs a strong foundation. So we ask each to see working on sexuality as a holy occupation and part of a holy life. Let it be wonderful and fun. Free the self to rejoice in the beauty of this energy. This is a long process sometimes. However, there is much pleasure in the work. At this time, we shall transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and light. We are those of Kuo.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the speaking to any further queries which may be upon the minds of those present. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
Okay, I'll ask a question. This seems to be more. I was thinking about the lovemaking of whales. The whales are intelligent beings, and I just thought it's such an enormous thing for these huge beings. And could you please comment on the energy exchange between these beings? Do they experience a total energy exchange besides just the physical? Do they feel the love for them? Is it act of also reaching out besides just the progression of the physical evolution?
I am Kuo, and am again with this instrument and am aware of your query, my sister. The pause in our response was due to the need for this instrument to again offer the challenge and for the process to be completed. We beg your forgiveness. In response to your query, may we say that the entities which you know as the whale, in many of its species, though not in each species, resides a kind of consciousness which is much like your own, but in some ways is more, shall we say, advanced in that the entities are able to sense, each with the other, the nature of what you would call the emotions, the motivations, and the natural expression of them. When this expression of energies is in the area of the red ray sexual energy exchange, there are many of these entities who have more than the red and orange and yellow centers of energy available for the moving of energy and the sharing of this energy, so that such sharings are oftentimes expressions of the unity which these entities feel with each other and with the creation about them. In such expressions, there is little of the confusions and distortions that so oftentimes plague their two-footed brothers and sisters who live upon the land surfaces. The expressions of energies are much more, shall we say, pure and clear to the point and with clarity to the point than there is the movement of the consciousness beyond the immediate point of the reproduction of the species and the satisfaction of the red ray sexual urges. Is there a further query, my sister?
Yes, well, could I extrapolate from your comments that the whales are the third density, the self-aware species? Are there also like wanderers, beings of high density who incarnate in third density physical bodies?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. This is incorrect. The achievement of the species, in some cases of this species of whales, as you call them, is a result of their own evolution upon this planetary surface. Is there a further query, my sister?
Oh, well, just to clarify, then the self-conscious entities originated from Earth, right?
I am Quoth, and this is correct. Is there another query?
Cole, I have a question. It's on another subject. I'm thinking of the nature of the soul that I asked about in a previous session. I'd like to know, what is the nature of the soul and how it originates?
I am Quo, and am aware of your query, my brother. This query is one which spans the entire breadth of the evolutionary process as we understand it. And we would attempt to respond to your query by suggesting that the soul is that constant awareness or constant consciousness within an individualized being that is the library or repository of all experiences which this entity has accumulated in all of its incarnative expressions throughout all of its densities of progression. Thus, there is much information and much of character, shall we say, that is gathered into that concept complex which you have called the soul. It is as the actor upon the stage, if we may borrow again from this analogy, that has played many parts and has been moved by portions of each of them to the degree that there are characteristics or perceptions within the soul essence that are a direct result of such marks upon experience. Thus, the soul is the pilgrim upon the journey that begins with the very simple awareness of its own beingness and begins to define its personality or identity according to those experiences that it passes through. And as the accumulation of experience, incarnation after incarnation, builds, then the soul is richer and has more to call upon for future efforts in this evolutionary endeavor. Is there a further query, my brother?
Is the soul created out of intelligent infinity to which it returns, or how is the soul created? Or did I misunderstand you?
I am Qua, and we believe that we understand your query, my brother, and would respond by suggesting that the soul is created from that intelligent infinity from which all of creation is made. And as it is able to gather experience within one illusion after another, then there is the identifying of this soul essence as a personality of a metaphysical nature. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes, Ra used the term the Buddha body for one of, and also the higher self for one of the aspects of individuals. Is the Buddha body a sheath covering for the soul, What is the relationship of the Buddha body and the higher self and the soul?
I am, I am aware of your query, my brother. In the attempt to speak to this query, there is the difficulty of your language and your linear perception of time that we must deal with. For the higher self, as it is often called, is the soul at another portion of its experience in a succeeding higher density. Thus, that which is your soul, that essence of self around which all experience orbits, becomes aware of its fullness. It becomes the higher self. This is also in close relationship to that which you have called the Buddha body. That body which is associated with the violet ray or crown chakra energy center. This expression of the self is that portion that stands within the light at the graduation to determine the ability of the soul to accept a greater and greater light and thus be, shall we say, graduated to the fourth density. Thus you may see a loose identity between Buddha body, soul, and higher self that begins to become a closer and closer equality as the soul progresses from density to density. Is there another query, my brother?
Well, I was thinking of the soul as a kind of tablet of white paper, a mnemonic substance that was cast out of the sinful sun or intelligent infinity and gradually took up on our identity as through incarnations. Is this concept wrong of the origin of the soul and its nature?
I am Kuo, and we find that this concept is basically correct and thus is usable. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes, thank you for that. Well, I just have one more. And during this religious season, I'm thinking of the what we call the Gospels in the Holy Book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm wondering if you would speak to the people who, about the people who wrote these books and the years in which they were written. Would you do that?
I am Kuo, and we are aware of your query, my brother, and may respond by suggesting that the entities which are responsible for the authorship of those books of your Bible called the Gospels are entities who were working in the recording of their experiences with the one known as Jesus the Christ, some 2 millennia previous to this present date, and who were able to glean a small portion of that entity's teachings in a manner which had meaning to them and which they were desirous of sharing with others for that reason. Is there a further query, my brother?
Could you give identities for these authors?
I am Guo. And we are aware of your desire to know the precise nature and identity of the authors of these books of inspiration. And we are in the desire to remain without infringing upon one's free will, and thus must withhold the specific identification, for there is some discrepancy with the accepted authors and their identity, which we find is necessary to maintain. Is there a further query, my brother?
So thank you for that. That'll be all for me. Thank you, Quo.
I am Quo. And again, we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I have one. I had thought, stray thought about sexuality, was that it kind of had a theme to it of sacrifice. A woman sacrificing, well, obviously, for her virginity. Males used to sacrifice their virginity, too, but with the big practice of circumcision, that males no longer have anything to sacrifice. But to the female, it is more of a sacrifice because of the fact that she then becomes able to have babies. And yet, to the male, the sacrifices of the whole life, because of the sacrifice of the woman willing to give to the man gives to the woman children, which then he sacrifices the life to protect and support. And I wondered if there was a significance or if I was on the wrong track. It just seems to me like almost like a woman is a priest in that ritual. Of sexuality.
I am Quo. And we are aware of a wide range of possible responses to this query, for again, the field is a large one, and we cannot begin to do it justice with a short response. Thus, we are relegated to offering what must be a somewhat unsatisfactory answer. The female of your species indeed does make a sacrifice, which is great, for there is much of responsibility that rests with the female, in that it will be the one to bear the fruit of such a joining, and must nurture and suckle this young entity for a significant portion of your time. The male makes a sacrifice in that it is desirous, in its higher motivations, of aiding in this process and building with the female the family unit that will be the teachers to the young entities born from it. The male then sacrifices what may be seen as its freedom to roam among the other female entities. This is somewhat difficult for the males of the current populations of your sphere, for there is much of confusion that follows any discussion of sexuality in all cultures upon your planet. There are various areas of intense experience which have provided and will continue to provide catalyst of an intense nature, and the area of sexuality is indeed a basic area of power, and power misunderstood within many of your cultures. Thus, there is the diluting of the sexual energy exchanges which plagues many of your peoples. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you, Kuo.
I am Kuo, and again we thank you, my sister. Is there a final query at this time?
The service that you provide for us is obvious somehow. What kind of service is this to you in your spiritual growth? What kind of energy do you take from these channelings? How does it help you in your spiritual growth?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. And in this query, we are happy to say that the answer is quite simple. For we are served by you as you allow us to be of service to you. It is as though one hand of the Creator gives to another a touch of life, and in so touching, receives that which it gives. Is there a further query, my sister?
Yes, thank you.
I am Kuo, and again we thank you, my sister. And at this time we would take our leave of this group, for we are aware of the length of your time that this working has assumed, and we do not wish to overtire those present. We are known to you as those of Kuo, and we leave each as always in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite Creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.